yourself in my favorite part of the show. What did I say? Talk to the audience? Oh, God, this is always dead.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yeah, it's you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. So I mentioned, I just thought this was really funny. Because I always begin every show by saying, welcome to the big show at noon. And so what do you know? I'm watching the UFC fights on either Friday or Saturday night. They all blend together. And a guy knocks out the other guy. I haven't watched a whole lot of UFC. I mentioned this at noon. It's brutal, man. I don't know why somebody would want to do that for their form of exercise and entertainment, because it is brutal. But one guy knocks out the other guy, and the knockee, not the knocker, but the knockee, he's out cold before he hits the canvas. But anyway, here's what the announcer screamed, and I'm trying to decide if I should sue for plagiarism.
Welcome to the big show!
I'm going to use it a lot. Hey, Sean, can you hurry and get that trademarked for me? So anytime somebody uses it, I can sue them. I'll catch you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Let me get on that real quick.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah. So I can be like Michael Buffer and just sue people, and it'll be wondrous. It'll be great. So anyway, that's what I was doing Friday, Saturday, just looking for drops for the show. Last night, I'm watching Q13. I watch all the newscasts, but Q13 was on a little bit earlier. So I'm watching that, and David Rose, I love David Rose. He's a good dude, good, solid news anchor. I like the Western Washington Most Wanted. Love all that stuff. But I texted him during the newscast because they had a story about a woman. Her BMW was stolen from a downtown parking garage. And it sounds like she makes face masks. And she had about $5,000 worth of face masks in her car at the time it was stolen. And so they had surveillance video from the parking garage. And you see what appears to be a younger gal wearing a Seattle Pacific University sweatshirt. And she's walking around the parking garage. And finally, she sees this white BMW. Gets in, drives away, stolen. But as the woman reported, and as David was telling the story, the owner of the BMW says her boyfriend accidentally left the car unlocked with the keys in it. And then they said, a Crime Stoppers will offer you a $1,000 tip for any information leading to capturing the thief. And I texted David and I said, hey, can I get the $1,000? Because I think I'd look at the boyfriend who accidentally, now it doesn't mean he's guilty. I'm just saying I personally would look at the guy who accidentally left a car unlocked with the keys in it in a parking garage in downtown Seattle. Not saying he's in on it, but I'm not saying he ain't. Let's see. Oh, there's some other sad news that came down yesterday. This is a sad Elvis song.
I'd like to do the saddest song I've ever heard in my life for you, so just bear with me for a minute.
Saddest music Elvis ever heard. I'm so lonesome, I could cry. Elvis's grandson took his own life over the weekend. Lisa Marie Presley's 27-year-old son, Jamin Keough, just 27 years old. Apparently, you know, we were talking about in the last segment about all the depression in our nation, and he killed himself with a gun. And it was just sad to hear about that. And that was also a little eerie when I heard that he was 27 years old, because as many of you no doubt know, there's this thing, especially in rock music, they call it the 27 Club. And it's very famous rock stars who have died. And this guy wasn't a famous rock star. He was Elvis's grandson. But, you know, another example of where money doesn't even come close to buying happiness, because they described that he killed himself at his own mansion, you know, from, you know, grandpa's estate, took care of that family financially for generations. But the 27 Club, as soon as I heard that that's how old he was, Brian Jones, one of the founding members of the Rolling Stones, he was 27 years old, drowned in a swimming pool. Brian Jones always had one of the strangest coroner reports of death. In his coroner report, it said he suffered death by misadventure. I'd never heard that before. But Jimi Hendrix was 27. Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison of The Doors, Kurt Cobain, when he killed himself, was 27 years old. And so ever since then, there's been this pop culture phenom called the 27 Club. So I just thought about that with the sad news of Elvis's grandson taking his own life last night. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Oh, and by the way, this is not a local story, but the Washington Redskins announced they're changing their nickname after lots of financial and, more importantly, you know, just their big sponsors were complaining about the name Redskins and said that it is a racial slur. And Nike, FedEx, some of the team's biggest sponsors said, we are not going to partner with you anymore as long as you keep Redskins as your name. And so the owner, Daniel Snyder, who a few years ago said, I will never change the name the Redskins. Well, money speaks louder than whatever intent he had, and for whatever reasons he had to not want to change the name. And you know, as I said earlier, there are nicknames like Indians, Braves, Chiefs that don't sound the slightest bit offensive to me. Vikings, Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, I just don't consider any of those. Redskins just never, ever, ever felt right. And the Redskins had a pretty nasty history, too. I'm reading this exhaustive biography of the National Football League, going back to the very founding of the league back in the teens and 20s, over 100 years ago. But the Washington Redskins, they, for decades, in the 40s, 50s, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL because every other team had started to integrate. You know, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball in 1947. Several NFL teams had done it, had added black players before that. But they soon discovered this incredible pool of talent. We're not going to be able to compete if we don't integrate. And the Redskins owner at the time refused to have any black players on his team. And he would rather have stayed mired in last place than to integrate his team. And so the Redskins have had this, you know, problematic history of racism going back, you know, nearly 100 years. Anyway, the reason I bring all of this up is the first quarterback in Seahawks history, Jim Zorn. He coached the Washington Redskins for a couple of years, about a decade or so ago. And Jim Zorn is going to join me coming up right after the 2:30 news. And we'll talk about just his experience coaching a team with a name like the Redskins. So Jim Zorn, right after the 2:30 news, will join us. All right, to the big lead we go. I would love to see a great turnout for this event. Wednesday morning, you know, we've watched the wackos. We've watched criminals take over the streets of our region. How about if the people who are just sick and tired of watching all the nonsense, how about if we take the streets for one morning? And Wednesday morning, I would love it if you could be part of this. I got an email from the wife of a Seattle police cop. And I'm going to read it again. I shared it a couple of hours ago. I know this family. I've known this family for a long, long time. And she writes, "Dory, I want to start off by saying how much your support of SPD means to our family. I'm so proud to be married to my husband. I'm proud of him serving his country and now Seattle. I've never felt so broken in my life. It was hard to have the one I love be attacked verbally and physically, day in and day out for weeks. And now the defunding of the department. This move will negatively affect thousands of people. Families will lose everything through this. I've been through so many emotions, and I'm tired. The families of SPD have decided we will not be silent anymore. We need people to understand what impact this will have on us. We need to show our support, and the time is now. We've decided to march down at City Hall on Wednesday in support of the Seattle Police. I'm hoping you might spread the word for this event. We want people to come and show their support for our amazing Seattle Police Department. SPD is an incredible police department that is going to be torn down by a city council that is being pushed by a small group of loud people. Thank you for all you do and all you stand for." That's from the wife of a Seattle police cop. So here's what's going down. Wednesday morning, there are council meetings planned for 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. They would like to have a group of people. You can't go inside in this era of COVID-19, but you can be in the plaza. You can be on the steps of City Hall, and you can show that just the hardworking, law-abiding people who reject what the Marxists are trying to do, what the savants are trying to do to our city, to tear apart capitalism, to destroy our police department. So it's a Support Seattle Police rally. Starts at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. And they're going to be at Seattle City Hall. And it's just to speak out against the Seattle City Council wanting to cut the police department budget by 50%. This will be disastrous for our city. Crime will be rampant throughout the streets. Guy was shot on Greek Row at UW last night. Woman shot in Madison Park late last week. Shooting Friday morning in Bellevue, shooting, stabbing two dead Saturday evening at a Bellevue luxury apartment. And we have politicians who say now's the time for fewer cops. Two teenagers murdered at CHOP. Both of those murderers are on the loose. Who are they going to kill next? And the council says, nah, we need fewer cops. We need less investigation of major crimes. So it's time to be heard. Wednesday morning, People are going to start gathering at 9 o'clock at City Hall. And it's time for the people to show up. And while we've let radical agendas take over the streets, let's remind them that there are people who just want a peaceful, safe society. And that now is not the time to cut police budgets by 50%, which is what's being talked about right now. Carmen Best, Seattle Police Chief, she was on Fox News this morning. Fox and Friends.
We will be much less safe if they take 50% of the cops off the streets. They don't have a plan that I've heard to do anything to maintain public safety in the meantime. I find this decision by the 7 members of our city council to be incredibly reckless and not taking into account the public safety of the other 750,000 people who live here in Seattle. Yeah. It truly is a tragic decision.
They are taking the public safety into account, and they want it more dangerous. They seriously want to decriminalize house invasions, car prowls, assaults. They want to reduce them to misdemeanors. They want no bail, so nobody will ever have to show up in court. They want criminals walking free, because you must destroy a society before you can build it in your Marxist ways. Jenny Durkin and Carmen Best then had a press conference this morning about this absolute, you know, nuclear bomb that they want to detonate in our city.
Let me make it clear to all of those officers, you all are needed. It is because of you we completed the hard work of the consent decree. You're one of the best trained departments in the country. We know you are needed because just 5 short months ago, we celebrated, along with some of the council members, the launch of a new campaign to recruit officers who are from this community and who represent the communities that we serve.
So if they go forward with cutting police by 50%, we will see Seattle become the crime capital of the United States. Exactly what the radicals on the city council want. It's really unbelievable. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
He was the head coach of the Washington Redskins for 2 years. Seahawk legend Jim Zorn will join me coming up next to talk about the decision to change that team's nickname. That's coming up next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. The rumors started growing with intensity over the weekend that one of the more storied franchises in all of pro sports, the Washington Redskins, are no more. Team owner Daniel Snyder, under tremendous corporate pressure, as sponsor after sponsor said that they did not want to be associated with the name Redskins, that many perceive to be a racial slur. Who better to give us kind of a local perspective on this than the legendary former quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, and he was the coach of the Washington Redskins about 12 years ago. Jim Zorn joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Jim, it's always great to talk with you.
Hi, Dory. It's good to be here as well. And although talking about the Redskins name is, not difficult to do, but in the day and time, it's hard to be thinking about having to change a franchise like this.
Well, it's interesting, Jim, because I'm sure you're somewhat like me. As I grew up, I don't think I've ever once heard the word Redskin used as any kind of a racial slur. I have only heard it as the name of the football team in our nation's capital. But I also understand why there are some people who would look at that name and say, yeah, in this day and age, that just ain't right, and they should go in another direction. So having coached the team, just what was your reaction to this whole debate?
Yeah, well, coaching the team, the very first week I became the head coach of the Redskins, I got mail asking me how I was going to help change the name of the Washington Redskins to something different. That was in the first week. So that had been around. And as I got deeper into it myself, because I had to pay attention as a head coach, you pay attention to everything. I tried to learn the history of the name and a lot of people, if they just go to Google, you can Google some of the history of the name, but it was the Redskins. And obviously, the Redskins, any First Nation or Native American, everybody has brown skin from what I have seen, but the history of it, as I learned it from Dan, actually, was when
Dan Snyder, the owner of the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And when Native Americans went to war, at least it was said that there was a red dye that they had used to go, you know, to war. And so that was part of the history. If you look deeper into the name Redskin, I don't think it was necessarily that way when they, in the 1930s, when they created the name Redskins,
right. But
that was the history of what Dan was trying to stay with. And I think he had a lot of passion for the name and its history, just from the standpoint of purchasing the team, keeping the heritage of the team. And I think a lot of people just really liked that, and probably still do like the name and are going to be really upset that it's changed. But I get the idea of our culture today. It changes, yep. 87 years later. And then when it has to deal with the economy of the club and, Fred Smith, who he runs FedEx, he's a minority owner. He's a great person. And, when he says, hey, people are pulling out of FedEx Field to sponsor, then you have to determine that something can be changed or something has to be changed.
Money talks, and Daniel Snyder a couple of years ago said he would never, I mean, he was unequivocal, we will never change the name of the Washington Redskins. But as you just said, FedEx had the naming rights to the stadium and a bunch of their most of their major sponsors, Nike and others. They were looking at hundreds of millions of dollars of companies saying, we won't have anything to do with you if you don't change the name. And ultimately, that's what drove it. What's interesting, Jim, is the Washington Post has done two polls in the last 5 years of Native Americans. And in both polls, over 90% said they liked the name Redskins. And there are a lot of Native American high schools on reservation land across the country that use Redskins as their nickname. So a lot of First Nation people don't necessarily look at that as a derogatory word.
Yeah, I see it as a warrior word than a derogatory word. And Dory, you were around, but remember when we went to the Seahawks were first started here, we went to Cheney, Washington at Eastern Washington State College. And at Eastern, they were the Savages. I don't know if you remember that. They were the Eastern Washington Savages.
Is that right?
And we used to always go to the Savage House to have pizza. And they did a really an amazing development on campus where they had these brick pavers all over the place, these orange kind of adobe brick pavers, and there were walkways all over campus. About every 10th brick was a outline of this Indian savage with a tomahawk in running and kind of had his tomahawk up ready to chop it down. He was not chopping wood either, And what they had done, this is in recent history, they had gone actually we were still there. The Seahawks were still having training camp there. And I can remember 1 year coming, and there were no savages on any of the bricks. They had got a brick sander, and they had sanded every outline of this that Indian off of the bricks. And so, you know, things change, and now they're the Eastern Washington Eagles, right?
Eagles, that's right. Yeah. Well, it's look, I knew that this was going to happen. There's just no way, given the times and the corporate pressure, that Braves, Indians, I don't
Blackhawks, Chiefs. What about the Kansas City Chiefs now?
How about the Minnesota Vikings?
And the Edmonton Eskimos.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
At the college level, what are we going to do as well?
Yeah.
The Utes.
Yeah.
None of those are really derogatory names, but I think they do a good job drawing attention to Native Americans. I would think that would be an honor to my own. My own heritage, but a lot of
tribes feel the way the Seminole tribe feels that way. So, all right. Well, Jim, I love getting your perspective on this, having coached the team there, and it's always good to catch up with you.
Dory, my pleasure. Have a great show.
All right, will do. All right, thank you, Jim. Right. Jim Zorn, right, your first Seahawk quarterback, coached the Redskins for a couple of years, or the team that formerly was known as the Redskins. They'll announce the new name any day now, we presume. All right, you can text me at 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. And before I get to today's awesome audio, I just have to play this one from last week again, in case you missed it. Because we were talking with Chris Rakedahl, Superintendent of Public Instruction, an hour or so ago, about reopening schools. And I think we have to get the schools reopened. We have to get the kids back in class. And this remote learning has proven to be a joke. So we have to get the kids back in school. But then every once in a while, I'm reminded, but look who's running the schools, the kind of radicals, the kind of, insanity that is running the schools. In case you missed it, this is from a week ago, but I was just reminded as I was talking about our schools here. In New York City, their school board is called the Education Council, and they were having a Zoom meeting. And a couple members of the education board, who are both white, one of them is a man, and his friend's kid is over at his house visiting. And the kid is either black or brown. And he's got the kid on his lap during the Zoom call, and he's just kind of bouncing him and just kind of playing with him. And his white female colleague goes berserk. Not because he brought a kid into the meeting, but because a white guy bouncing a black child is racist. I mean, listen to this insanity.
It hurts people when they see a white man bouncing a brown baby on their lap and they don't know the context. That is harmful. That makes people cry. It makes people log out of our meetings. They don't come here. They don't come to our meetings, and they give me a hard time because I'm not vocal enough, and I'm not trying to be a martyr. I'm trying to illustrate to you that you think I'm a social justice warrior, and you think I'm being patronizing, and I'm getting pressure for not being enough of an advocate. And I take that to heart, and that hurts me, and I have to learn to make how to be a better white person.
I would like
you
to know.
You don't have people telling adjourns, you that.
I would like to know before this meeting adjourns how having my friend's nephew on my lap was hurtful to people and was racist. Can you please explain?
I've explained it to you. You can Google. You can read a book. Read a book. Read Ibram Kendi. Read white fragility. Read how to
said.
Talk to white people.
No, it's not
my job to educate you. You're an educated white man.
You're right.
And you can read a book.
My friend is going to
yourself.
Educate you.
Oh, she's in charge of kids in public schools.
Google it! Rape white fragility!
Oh, man. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, the most cataclysmic story that continues here in our region is the Seattle City Council that wants to eliminate 50% of the Seattle Police Department. Seven of the nine council members. This will turn Seattle into, we already have the worst property crime in the country. If we get rid of half our police, we're going to be the crime capital of the United States. They want to, you know, no bail for criminals. They want to reduce a lot of felonies to misdemeanors. Assault. They want to reduce some assaults to just simple misdemeanors. And Jenny Durkin, you know, to her credit, I don't agree with Jenny Durkin on a lot of things, but she's trying to be a voice of reason and saying we can't eliminate 50% of our police department. Number three.
Today, the chief and I are announcing an initial $76 million in reductions to the 2021 budget. Our assessment of what needs to be done has to be based on facts and data so that we can continue to serve the people of Seattle.
Facts and data. But remember, they're not returning $76 million to the taxpayers. They are going to move it to groups that have been extorting money from them with things like taking over the East Precinct and CHOP. At number two, Carmen Best. She is saying, yeah, it's going to be over my objections if you try to get rid of cops.
Let me be clear. I will not choose to fire officers. But if they leave me in this circumstance, we have no other choice. Our budget is almost entirely personnel. And almost everything that isn't personnel costs has been eliminated to help address the COVID-19 budget gap. I will not sacrifice officers of color for political points.
So, and why do we have so much crime? Why in New York City, for example, have murders doubled, even tripled, week over week from a year ago? Well, AOC says it's this.
Let me be clear. I will not.
Oops, that's not AOC.
So why is this uptick in crime happening? Well, let's think about it. Do we think this has to do with the fact that there's record unemployment in the United States right now? The fact that people are at a level of economic desperation that we have not seen since the Great Recession? Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent. And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
And that's why murders have gone up. According to that genius. That's it. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. And,
I wasn't even listening. I was listening to podcasts. Podcasts are great. Radio's boring.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.